Hello and welcome to the Random Pinoy Geek Podcast. I'm your random host, Elvin, and with me are
JR
and Sushi.
We're friends and geeks who grew up in the Philippines, and in each episode, we hang out and talk about things that are near and dear to all our little geeky hearts. This is a show where we share three random topics that we geek out to until the timer runs out. But before we start, if you would like to support the show and are a content creator ready to take the next step in your journey, check out episodify.com. They'll help produce and edit any content you're creating, whether it's audio or video, short form or long form, they'll do it all. That's episodify.com. Now, onto the episode. So, today, the topic that I have is something that I find really interesting because back in 2003, it was a CD that I listened to on the ride home from Enchanted Kingdom, and it has been...
What's a CD? No, I'm kidding.
A CD anyway. Is a... So it's Wicked, okay? It's Wicked. So the musical Wicked...
Wait, Wicked existed when?
It started in 2003.
Was it already Lea Michele's mother from Glee who did it?
Yeah, they were the first. They were
Idina
the,
Menzel.
Idina Menzel was the first Elphaba. She originated her. So it's the 20th anniversary of Wicked back in May last year.
Okay.
It's wow.
It's been 20 years, yeah.
That's older than my eldest nephew.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, everybody really loves...
Let go.
Defying gravity.
That's Frozen. Weird. The other,
but the right singer.
Is still Idina Menzel, yes. Which is actually a funny thing because it's also a show. It's also about witch. Sisters. About mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. Mm-hmm. But have you guys, are you guys familiar with Wicked?
I haven't watched the actual show, but I'm familiar with the songs.
I had a chance to watch it in Singapore with, I think, the original cast.
Wow.
But it was too expensive.
Oh, well, just a chance.
Kristen, I had a chance. I didn't.
I was already impressed.
But are you familiar with the songs there, JR?
Let it go.
No.
Still the same song.
I was. I was.
Gravity.
Was past tense. So, I know that song. I know that song. I wouldn't have remembered it if no one sang it.
Really? It's Defying Gravity,
yes.
Right?
Okay. What's your favorite song from
a musical?
Oh. From that musical. Oh. From Wicked.
Right now, that's the only song I remember until you guys sing more.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only song, I guess.
You remember.
That what's your favorite song?
My favorite song.
I'm up to see the wizard. No.
No, that's
no, the wizard. Oh, you mean the wizard and I?
Oh, no.
It's the one that goes one short day in Emerald City.
I don't know this.
It sounds like the SM song.
We're at SM.
That's SM City. I know. That's why it's funny because it just sounds similar.
If we don't get an SM sponsorship after this, SM Supermall.
We got it
all for you.
I know people.
Sure.
Anyway, but my favorite actually is a song called Dancing Through Life. It's sung by Pharaoh, who was the Scarecrow. Dancing through life, everything's painless. Oh. As long as you're brainless.
This sounds super Broadway.
Yeah. But it is, right? Yeah. Wicked is Broadway.
Yeah, but it sounds so Broadway.
Hurt is fleeting. Blows are glancing. If you're dancing through life, it's essentially calling back to him being like just doesn't care about getting hurt because he says like he's not going to get attachments. And it sort of calls back to the fact that he's going to be the Scarecrow.
Uh-huh.
And also it's funny because that leads to another song, which is my second favorite song called Until You're Mine, which is essentially a love song between the Wicked Witch and the Scarecrow. It's like...
How... Did they become romantically... Why?
Because they were... Fiero and Elphaba are like romantically...
Involved.
And then they kill Fiero. And then she uses magic to bring him to life. Back to life. Mm-hmm. But he only comes back as a Scarecrow.
Oh, so that's why.
Yeah.
So this is like a backstory.
Is this like canon?
So it's based on the book called Wicked.
Mm. Which isn't necessarily...
which is a
Wizard of Oz canon.
It was like the story before the Wizard of Oz.
But
before
is it Wizard of Oz canon? No.
No, no, of course. Oh, it's not written by L. Frank Baum.
It's
no.
an early form of fan fiction.
Is it L. Frank Baum? I think it's L. Frank Baum. But yeah, so
fanfic.
I don't know. It's fanfic.
If you're not really that into Wicked, what's your favorite Broadway song then, JR?
No. Oh, okay.
I just can't wait to be king.
And I just can't wait to be king. I'm sorry.
I mean,
I know. Technically, it is.
I mean, I'm sure.
Not even Shadowlands.
Wait. I'm sure 50% of the audience is gonna say something about you taking your shot. So
yeah.
Oh no. Is that Hamilton or yeah, no? It is Hamilton.
It's everyone's favorite musical these days.
Right now, it is because it's...
Technically, I could have said American Idiot. Because
it is also... Yeah. It's also...
I want to be an American Idiot! Copyright strike!
But isn't it like... Why not 21 Guns? Which is like a song... 121 guns. You didn't know that part where they go one.
They do that.
21 guns. They do that in the show.
But technically, you can. Oh, did you know that Rogers the Musical is an actual thing now?
Yeah, I saw a bit. I saw clips of. They did
Captain America Rogers. Yes.
Oh. For the Hawkeye.
The Hawkeye thing. You didn't watch Hawkeye.
I didn't.
There was a scene in Hawkeye where they, because it's a post
snap
thing where it's a I'm a has-been kind of movie, blah blah blah. But no, you're not. But then the kid something.
And it's a musical. Like
in that thing there was a musical about the New York, what do you call
the
it?
War of New York.
The War of New York, where it's Rogers the musical. No, it's actually not about the War of New York.
Well,
but
that was
there
the
were
climax.
Scenes.
That was the climax of
yeah,
the thing.
But yeah. So Rogers the Musical. Which
I can
is
do
this
all day. Yeah. Come to us to save the day.
And they're gonna make it an actual thing.
They've ready made it.
They did.
Yeah, already.
There's already a show.
Oh, wow. there's clips on YouTube, and they play it very straight, which is funny because it climaxes to the war of New York,
mm-hmm.
and the War of New York is like filled with inaccuracies. Like there's Ant-Man is there, and
to be
Spider-Man,
fair, he was
I
there.
Think. Yeah, in the Spider-Man. It's just funny. But I'm just surprised. You said that you like Lion King, but why not even Shadowlands, which is like one of the few unique songs for the musical.
I don't know. I can't wait to be king.
Yeah, I guess.
And I just can't wait to be
king. I like that part. I like that part specifically. No, I like the wait. That part.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's a ton of you Jackman stuff and I don't know. Or I hope you don't mind. Or, you know, or.
Oh, from the Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, or like the Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, that oh, is my answer.
Oh, that's yours?
Yeah, but
say
I wanted to.
Say you share with me.
One life.
But got some vibrato right there.
Is it the Broadway show?
It is very much.
The, it right. is the Broadway show.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good to
it
know.
It is the Andrew Lloyd Webber
and
show.
Hopefully they bring that back here in the Philippines. I mean, they already showed it before, right? And
it's
it
great.
Was the last. You watched it, Elvin?
Yeah, I've watched The Phantom, yeah.
Here
Phantom.
In the Philippines? When they brought it here?
I watched Emmy Rossum, so, which was good enough.
Okay. Yeah.
But from The Phantom, your favorite is the first one?
Of course, The Phantom of the actual...
The Phantom of
the song. The song, the song Phantom of Opera.
Yes, that actual song.
Not All I Ask of You?
I'm
or
not the romantic
Music
person.
Of the Light? Music of the Night? Oh, I love Music of the Night.
I prefer Starlight Express to Phantom of the Opera.
Starlight Express is also very good. Which one?
Starlight Express.
You like, your favorite is Starlight Express from Starlight Express.
It's not my favorite. I'm saying I even prefer that to the Phantom of the Opera song.
Oh, okay.
Mm. That's how much I don't really like that song. I mean, it's funny, but...
What is your lesser known musical favorite? Like something that, you know, this one thing from a musical that you somehow like?
Probably the Green Day stuff, because I know the Green Day stuff, and it's because it's not like it's, yes, it's Broadway, but is it, you know what I mean? But if we want to be strict with Broadway, probably something from Rent.
Which one?
I don't know.
La Vie Bohème?
I haven't thought of it. Is there a Spice Girls musical?
Spice
I'm pretty
World?
Sure. Yeah, is it?
Isn't Spice World the Spice Girls musical?
If there was a Spice Girl musical, it would be Spice World, but I don't know if that exists.
Yeah, maybe it was just a concert. Well, yeah.
I never liked Cats.
It's okay. Yeah. Then I'd like Cats. Cats is kind of like my awakening to certain body parts.
What?
No, okay. Because there's a ballet solo in Cats where Victoria, which is one of the kittens, mm-hmm. the white kitten actually, does a very
sensual.
Well, it's a ballet. It's ballet. Uh-huh. She's doing the entire thing. But these were actors in leotards and uh-huh. stuff. So as a little child, I was like watching this. And then all of a sudden, I felt something in my heart.
Oh.
It's like, oh.
It awakened something in you.
Yes. It's like, oh, that's a beautiful creature. Like, no, I'm not saying that that's when I became.
That's when you became a pervert.
A furry? No. A furry. I was like, no, this is a love for theater. It's like, but the thing is, when it comes to musicals, Andrew Lloyd Webber is such a big name.
Yeah.
But there's also others like Stephen Schwartz, which did Wicked. And when I wanted to talk about how it was, there are a lot of well-known songs that you like. Starlight Express is actually a very good one.
But the actual show is.
It's roller skating.
It was
aliens.
Good.
It's roller skating. Oh, sorry.
20, 30 years ago, it Wait. Was good. No. Roller skating trains.
Trains, yes. Roller coasting personification of trains. It's kind of sounds like an anime, right? It's like
Thomas the Tank Engine before Thomas the Tank Engine.
But remember, they're anthropomorphized. So they're like living people.
Oh, but you know what Broadway show I would pay to watch? Yeah. What's his name? What's her name? Supergirl?
Kara Zor-El?
No. The actress who played Supergirl. Which one?
The
Glee
so many.
Girl.
Oh, what about her?
She plays Carole King in a Carole King musical.
Whoa.
Oh, okay.
And she does, the nails voice? It. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Except
she
plays fake piano.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
But yeah, everything else.
I heard of the Carole King musical.
It's super good.
Because I saw the Kennedy Honors performance of her sort of life. And that was really nice. Because if you have the chance mm-hmm. to watch the Carole King Kennedy Honors mm-hmm. concert, it's really, really nice. And
if you play it in a small screen and you squint really hard on the play, you'd mm-hmm. actually think it's Carole King.
Wow.
Because it's that good. Blonde and then mm-hmm. thin.
Because blonde and then they did the hair and she does the this.
the shaking of the head.
Because Carole King is.
Yeah.
And walks weird.
Oh, all right.
Does everything.
King movement.
Does the everything. Yeah, everything. Nice. And and nails the voice and everything.
And I'd love to pay for that as well. Isn't it captured in film? It's just really.
It's in YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Illegally, I assume.
Possibly.
What Clips. About the more recent ones? Recent
that was fairly
musicals.
Recent.
Oh, what about the new ones like Tick Tick Boom?
Well, it's in Netflix.
Is this
right?
Tick Tick Boom? It's in POD?
No.
There's a POD song.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Tick Tick Boom!
But if you're. But yeah, so it's been 20 years of Wicked, and throughout that time, you know, we've been.
This is final
exposed, talk. Yeah, we've been exposed to all of these different ideas. But.
I think what made Wicked really big was Glee, actually.
became
I mean, it's big
afterwards.
In broad with Broadway people, but
globally
becoming
globally.
Mainstream mm-hmm. and Lea Michele's mom being Idina Menzel and like, mm-hmm. oh, this guy's this natural Broadway person. Oh, it plays. Yeah, that made it really big.
Well, I think it was already big before.
It was already big, but this made it a household name.
Possibly. Yeah, it's still such a good show. It still brings so much emotion, and I'd love to like listen to some of the songs with you guys in the future. But yeah, so
we
that's
can't
my
do that
topic.
Here though, because we're gonna be copyrighted.
Yeah, that, no, that's for off the camera things.
Yeah.
But yeah, or off the mic. Anyway, so JR, what's your topic?
I'm staring at this Robin Sparkles Funko Pop I just acquired recently. So my topic is gonna be Friends versus How I Met Your Mother.
Oh my god!
Oh, thank goodness. I thought you were just gonna talk about How I Met Your Mother.
Just Robin Sparkles.
Just Robin Sparkles. Like, I had nothing.
Oh, you did? Wait, what?
No, I'm just saying that I would lean towards.
You don't want to go with them into the mall with them?
Not today.
Not today.
but the thing is, like, it's nice to watch How I Met Your Mother, but for some reason, when it comes to shows, Friends seem less memey and more like
how is pivot less memey?
Kinda.
Pivot? No.
No, doesn't. Oh, not familiar.
So here's the thing with Friends and with the Friends versus How I Met Your Mother debate. People seem to think that people who grew up with Friends would choose Friends, and people who grew up with How I Met Your Mother and are retro watching Friends in Netflix would choose How I Met Your Mother. But I actually grew up with Friends, but I think How I Met Your Mother is better.
Huh. Well, for a person who hasn't watched either of their shows,
why are you here?
I really wanted to ask, what is Friends about? Is it just a bunch of people hanging out in a cafe?
In a coffee shop, yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
It's kind of like an unreasonable view of life in New York. It's just a
they're
bunch of
people. They both are.
Yeah, except in one group, it's like clearly fantasy and the other one is Friends.
Huh? Wait, what? Isn't Friends the one that's
is
more
it
fantasy?
Fantasy, yeah.
No, but Friends is... One is... Okay, let me rephrase that. How I Met Your Mother is fantasy, so it makes sense that they do weird things. But Friends pretends to be real,
but it's clearly fake.
Clearly fake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So because it pretends to be real, but it's not.
The biggest thing with Friends that people just can't agree with is their apartment sizes.
Oh, it's huge.
Because like in New York, apparently, with the money that they're making, they should be living in apartments that could only fit your bed.
Yeah,
you know, something like
unless,
that.
Unless
during
it's,
those years?
During those
during years. Even, yeah. Because New York apartments is very expensive. Mm-hmm. The type of, like, I have my family members, like, live in New York. And mm-hmm. they spend some time there growing up. And so there are certain types of apartments that are rent controlled. So they can't really increase the price. And so those are the people that stay there. So I thought that for the longest time that maybe one of their apartments is kind of like that, where they inherited it from like a family member who lived there before. But yeah, there's so many things that don't kind of make sense.
Yeah, financially, Friends doesn't make sense. That's the main thing.
That's the main thing, except for Chandler. Chandler is the only person that makes sense because he makes so much money as a...
regional something. I know regional. I'm
trying to remember the thing that Rachel said that he's... he's a transponder, was it?
But
quiz.
Even with what he makes, it's still not enough to get the size of apartment that they have.
Exactly.
I've seen clips of Friends. Isn't this where Monica is from?
And they switch rooms a couple of times.
And yeah, that's where
Monica's
friends. And
they're mostly in Monica's apartment.
They switch room. They switch apartments a couple of times.
There was the great contest where they bet the apartment. Yeah,
I've seen the cafe. I've seen Monica's apartment, which is, yeah, I could agree, it's big. Just the dining, kitchen, and this.
Yeah, and then it has three more rooms and two bathrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And a balcony.
Was it owned by Monica?
They're renting it, but they're not supposed to be able to afford it.
She's sharing with three other.
So if you look at that in pesos, pesos, like in today's money, that's probably like what? 300,000-500,000 pesos a month equivalent
for that
right
flat
now. Yeah, some probably this is like ballparking it, but that's how unreasonable it is.
Yeah,
so imagine if you or me were renting 500,000 pesos a month.
And remember, Rachel was a starving waitress at the beginning, because she was rich, to be fair, but she wasn't necessarily getting money. She was like, she ran away from her She was a runaway bride.
Oh.
And then Monica was a cook.
Not even a chef.
She's like a line cook.
When they started. She became a chef.
She became a chef eventually. But like during the time. And the two possibly richest people, which is Joey and Chandler. Joey being an actor. And then Chandler being a whatever he does. They actually live across the hallway in a uglier apartment. That like sort of makes a little bit more sense, except for the fact that it has two rooms.
Yeah, it's still too big.
It's still too big, but it looks worse.
Also, it's like Joey is an actor, but he is very vocal about not having money.
Yeah. He's not that popular.
He became, eventually.
But like was very irresponsible about the money.
Oh, the money.
Yeah.
I mean, during the show when they introduced the people, the cast, Joey was, I guess maybe there were scenes that Joey, it was indicated that people know Joey, he's an actor. Like, do people approach him to have him sign stuff?
Actually,
he's just
that,
irresponsible.
I don't think that ever happens, is the thing, right?
Yeah, so, doesn't.
But it's supposed to be because he's in soap operas. So people should recognize him. But they didn't make it a point that someone would walk up to him and recognize him.
But it was apparent that he's irresponsible with his earnings.
Yeah, because he's always broke and owes everyone money.
What? Calls everyone?
All owes everyone money.
Owes everyone. All right. Gosh.
No, I was trying to find the job of Chandler.
Regional.
Statistical something or other. Yeah. And then you have Ross. Ross being this archaeologist, and they just
paleontologist.
My mistake. And then,
so he has grants, research grants.
No, he's
a salaried paleontologist.
He's a museum.
Oh, curator.
Also a professor.
I don't know.
He does have a stable income.
Yeah, he actually gets his own house, apartment at one point. Still too big.
That's kind of like the thing when it comes to Friends. Friends is kind of like an unrealistic view of a real situation, whereas How I Met Your Mother is just the fantastical stories of the father to his kids. And so it's kind of very fantastic. It's kind of like one is pretending to be real, the other one is clearly a big fish story.
So Friends is just about the daily lives, I guess, of the friends.
So is How I Met Your Mother, except that it has
an end goal.
There's the, what do you call that? The tying plot to everything, which is how he meets the mother. What's her name? Tracy.
Yeah.
Spoilers for someone who hasn't watched it. Oh my God, I'm sorry.
That's funny. I think she's the girl, Tracy.
But technically the mother.
The mother. Yeah. But the mother, yeah. But her is like, she's weird looking, but attractive.
What's her name?
Yeah. I can't remember. Italian of some
she
sort. Christina Manzoni.
Meliotti.
Meliotti, yeah.
She's in Black Mirror. I have a Funko Pop.
Yeah, she's also in Wolf of Wall Street. She's the first wife of.
She actually kind of looks like Emmy Rossum as well. Emmy Rossum.
Yeah.
Phantom Girl.
Yeah.
Movie.
Yeah. But the thing with How I Met Your Mother.
Kick-Ass Ukulele.
Yeah, true. The songs.
It's like a whole generation learned
LaVie and Rose
because of that episode. Yeah. So if you know someone who plays LaVie and Rose and ukulele,
what I learned from How I Met Your Mother was some cookies.
I actually didn't try it. Yeah, you tried making it?
No, I've tasted like the purported recipe. Mm. Which is like, I guess it's just peanut butter chocolate chip cookies.
I guess.
Which is good. Which is good, yeah.
Which is God.
They shared the recipe in the series?
She explained how it is. But yeah, all of the elements, the slapping, the bro code, the different things.
The bro code.
Yeah, the doppelgangers. Yeah. Sort of gives How I Met Your Mother a sort of fantastical thing to it. Whereas Friends is kind of like more of like a normal sitcom.
The thing is, like, the comedy for me of How I Met Your Mother is significantly better. But it's also something. It's also like when you watch Pauly Shore when you were young, he was super funny. In Jury Duty. Jury Duty! And whatever, camp, right? But like if we watch it now, oh my God. Encino Man. Encino Man, kind of okay. But
you mean California Man?
Why is it Encino Man in some places?
Because nobody outside of the United States knows where Encino, California is.
Oh.
So that's why it's called California Man everywhere else. Yeah.
Why do I know it as Encino Man?
Because, you know, we were exposed to a lot of U.S. stuff as well.
The copied VHS that they rented said Encino Man.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway. whenever we see like, whoa, why are the cavemen shaved?
Anyway, the comedy back then, even Jim Carrey is kind of, well, no, The Mask is great, but like Liar Liar,
it won't hold up to today.
It still does, but it's not as epic as you remember it. Whereas if you rewatch, you know, a decade later-ish stuff like School of Rock, for example, to me, still holds up, right? So I think it's the same thing where the comedy back then, the homophobia back then was really, where they just, let's not talk about that. But yeah, Friends is, but you know, like, it's a big debate. People tend to just accept it because during that time it was, anyway. But yeah, it there's cringy stuff, I guess, by today's standards. But when you do, like, when you see Brad Pitt in Friends,
yep,
George Clooney,
George
Paul Clooney. Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd was kind of mainstream.
Yeah.
Main cast member. Kind of.
He was the love interest of Phoebe. Mark.
He looked the same.
He looked literally the same.
He's a vampire.
He is the same.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Brad Pitt was the fat friend of
Monica.
Brad Pitt was really fat?
No, when Monica was also fat?
Monica was also fat when they were young.
So they were fat friends when they were young.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But he hated Rachel
and made up the rumor.
She was hot when they were young.
Yeah. And he made up the rumor that she was a hermaphrodite.
And this was funny because back then they were
married
or dating?
No.
Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, during that time, that's all.
That's why, and it was, because when you watch this back then, and you know, oh, they're a couple, and Brad Pitt's going to guess, and you see Brad Pitt, and was like,
roasting, Rachel, I didn't like her.
Yes. And it's the face.
It's hilarious. And then like the parts where he's like, yeah, this is great, and then Phoebe just finds an excuse of how to hug him all the time.
That's on purpose, maybe, because
it's Brad Pitt.
So Friends wins when it comes to guests because their guests are just Brad Pitt and Paul Rudd, etc.
Oh, they had a guest spot with Robin Williams and Billy Crystal at the start of the show where they played nameless characters that was just arguing next to them. And then they were like trying to talk,
How I Met had Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, that's true. But the thing is, the two of them, Robin Williams and Billy Crystal, were actually filming a movie called Father's Day, I think.
Father's Day,
if you remember that movie. And they were on the set, and it's like, hey, we can guest star. So they were there just for the thing before the credits, before the opening song. Mm-hmm. it's that thing, and then they're just talking, and then they were just doing, just improvising the entire way, and it was an amazing scene because the friend cast were completely, they couldn't really
starstruck. They couldn't digest that those two were there.
No, because they were there. They were making, they were just doing this thing, uh-huh. and they couldn't help but just, they're talking about something, and then they just started talking again.
Sounds like really cool.
Yeah, so in summation, I think How I Met Your Mother is greater than Friends for mm-hmm. reasons that we didn't get to discuss because it's a lot.
Oh.
But when it comes to guest stars,
William Zabka, though, is in How I Met Your Mother.
And not Moby. Anyway, yeah, but still, you're right. Everyone else, right? Rob Macho is also.
Yeah, in the same episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Sushi.
It sounds like from our discussion, I'd watch How I Met Your Mother
more
than Friends.
If you didn't grow up with Friends, it's okay because it's on Netflix, and if you don't have mm-hmm. anything else to do, yeah. But if you haven't watched either, I would start with How I Met Your Mother.
Uh-huh.
Because you just need to know what Robin Sparkles is all about.
Besides the fact that Robin Sparkles is known across Canada, you also want to make sure that you're known across the world. So kind of shout out to our friends at episodify.com for helping us with this podcast. If you need someone to help edit videos, your podcast shorts, or whatever other projects you have, Episodify can help you with that. They offer different packages and provide discounts when you buy more hours. So if you're just starting out and would benefit from more professional assistance, or you want to make your job a little bit easier, give them a call. Thanks, episodify.com. Now back to the show.
Back to Sushi.
What's your topic that you're going to share with us?
Oh, all right. Well, since JR kept talking about Robin Sparkles, because he's seeing his collector's item Funko Pop here of Robin Sparkles, for the collectors out there, when you buy an item, would you display or would you use the item? Like for shoes, for example, would you display or use?
Because the thing with Funko Pops is displaying them is using them. That's the beauty of it.
Oh, well, you won't.
But then you can't make Robin Sparkles and Elton John kiss.
Then you buy two of each. Then you make one to kiss. Open and one to display.
But they're still both display. Technically, they're
Because like Funko Pops that appreciate, opened, still appreciate.
Really?
But not as much. So if you could actually buy two and open one, but you know, so you can make Elton John and Robin Sparkles kiss, because only one of them is Canadian, so I don't get why that was what Elton John. Anyway.
Also, Elton John isn't, you know, not necessarily into Robin Sparkles, except for the Sparkles, I guess. But I think...
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think that for collectors, you'd really want to keep things in the package, in the box, in the mint condition. Because, like, if collectors, it's kind of like art, right? So when you have...
Well, if you want to use it, collect cars.
Do they use cars that they collect?
Yeah.
Most of the time?
Oh. Jay Leno does.
That's true, Jay Leno. But Jay Leno is rich.
Does he have his own racetrack?
He has his own fire truck. Oh. I don't know. That's a bigger place than owning your race.
Maybe.
Because I know more people who own
stuff.
Collections.
I've heard of more people who own racetracks than people who own fire trucks for fun.
I guess because one is like one is like land,
and the other one makes sense.
And makes sense.
And one is a flex.
Yeah, one is just you're not. One is a government like. Government vehicle that you sort of took.
Oh yeah, the fire truck.
Yeah.
You can buy it.
You have private fire trucks here in the Philippines.
You do. Yeah. The Chinese do.
Yeah, they.
Yeah, I guess.
The Chinese.
Yeah.
Firemen brigade. I don't know what they're called.
The Ube people.
The volunteer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for shoes, that's my example. We have collector's shoes. So would you display? Or would you wear them?
I think the people that would be able to wear them are the ones that don't want to sorry, the ones that collect them don't really want to wear them. It's more of like for display.
They don't at all, is the thing.
I guess.
Apparently. Because
they don't.
No, some do. It's not like a Gucci jacket where you can use it and it's fine.
Or a Supreme jacket.
Or a Supreme jacket if you're younger. But the shoes is like you can buy Air Jordans for $180 and after a couple of beers it's $600 if you're lucky, if you don't use them. If you use them, it's just $300. If it's beat up, it's zero. So like then you risk, yeah, you paid $180, but you risk ruining $600 shoes.
But I think it also depends if you look at it like through the lens of history. Like the most expensive, the most expensive collector items are just things that are very rare, regardless of their like the quality. Like the most expensive baseball card is the Wagner card, which is like really busted already. But it's still it's
worth something,
like millions, right?
Yeah, but you're not necessarily after the most expensive. You're just after something to collect. Because if it's the most expensive of anything, then you're probably not gonna have it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but that sort of like goes to how you'd want to collect something. If the collection is to be worn or used, but if it's something to be displayed, I guess it's good to keep it in the box.
Like people collect Legos, do they play with these Legos?
Legos actually almost lose all of their value if you open the box.
Oh.
So some Lego, except for the old ones. Like I have late 80s, early 90s Legos that are worth quite a bit right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like in pieces, but they're still worth quite a bit. But if you're talking about like a Millennium Falcon from Force Awakens, once you open that, that's no value. Almost.
It has to stay in the box.
And when I say no value, I mean like there is value, but it doesn't appreciate as like not even as close as if you kept it in the box. So yeah, some people buy the Legos and display the box, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, that's why I have this question. You're buying things, but you don't really get to enjoy them.
Because it's like books. Reading books as a hobby is different from collecting books as a hobby. Some people buy books to read. Some people buy books to
display them in their shelves to build their library.
At the same time, I think like cards as well. So there are cards that you use because they're usable. There are cards that are pretty that you keep. And there are cards...
But to be fair, cards don't really lose value if you use them.
I guess.
That is the advantage of Magic the Gathering and other stuff. Because like you put them in sleeves. Well, Magic the Gathering specifically, because Pokemon people just grade them. There's one white speck that's 0.1 mm on the side, so that's not me. Well, Magic is like all beat up. Oh, that's near me. Yeah, sure.
But Magic cards are usable. I mean,
yeah, no, but people don't care about condition for Magic unless it's not like really just absolutely bad.
To be fair, the Japanese market is very high on condition
for Magic.
For Magic, yeah.
It's no, like the super rare no, anime foil.
Even the old ones.
The old ones, yeah. But like, we're talking about a $50 standard card. Like, the One Ring regular one. Like, no one's gonna care if you played with yours.
And that's the thing. Like, if it's designed to be used in a certain way, then it makes sense for you to take it out of the box. Mm-hmm. But for like a Funko, it's designed to be displayed. Like, the reason why you have like the great art, the reason why you have the wide viewing window that has front and side views, make sure that it's really something that you can show and view.
To be fair, there are Funkos, for example, this Tiamat Funko.
That's
this is
for
rare.
Dungeons and Dragons?
Is that? Yes. This is Tiamat, which just looks a lot better out of the box. But also this one, when you open the box, you don't damage the box in any way, so it's fine. Because the regular ones, if you open it, the top creases.
Uh-huh.
But this one does it because of its weird box.
Oh, it has a
different... still
have
the box for that?
Yeah, that's the box. The box!
But
does it have a protector?
No, because it's a weird-shaped box that only exists for five-headed dragons.
Yeah, but if you look at it, it has the same thing that I was talking
about.
Wide
window.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's really there because you look two
sides.
Yeah,
but it doesn't look nice.
I get. I'm just trying to say. So both sides showcase like the art of the product. And then the other ones showcase the actual product itself in wide windows. So it's really built for display. So
like, also, even if it comes with a D20, and I wanted to use the D20.
That too. So in that case, it's because the collectible is designed to be displayed, like a painting. A painting, mm-hmm. you're not supposed to, like, a painting's not built to be used as a placemat or something. It's mm-hmm. it's built to hang on the wall, right? So I guess the answer to that question would be, if it's going to be
placemat paintings.
Well, if it's a placemat, then yeah. But if it's not, then it's not designed for that. Did you? I kind of remember something with shoes, like
coconut or watermelon.
Huh?
Because the way you shoes. Tell you get the way you tell fake Air Jordans is you flip it around and then you tap it. If it sounds like a watermelon, it's real. If it sounds like a coconut. Oh. Of course, we're talking about coconuts that...
like
the husk.
Like, the husks.
Yeah, husk coconut.
No, I was thinking about... I saw people grading shoes, and one of the things that they do is they smell it.
If it has a smell, it's gone. If it has a smell, it's really used. Regardless of... like, if you could have smelly feet and used it once, and then it's gone.
Because there's a specific smell of unused...
yeah.
Like,
so even if you used it every day for a year and maybe you for somehow float when you walk and your feet don't smell, then it could be counted as unused. But yeah, it has to have no smell.
Mm. So that's how you grade collector shoes. Do you even smell it?
That is the thing that's preventing, one of the other things that would prevent me from collecting shoes is the first thing you do when you open it is smell it. To check, like if you're buying secondhand market.
Oh.
Which I am not sure I actually want to do.
Of course. Would you? I don't want to risk smelling other people's feet.
Right. I think that's like a...
I mean...
part of the job. Or yeah. For some people, it would be a benefit.
And then you use feet to tap.
But yeah, I think that's a good way of like thinking about collectibles. Because if they were built to be... shown, then
especially if it's something that you could show without destroying the box. Then yeah,
I mean Funko Pop, it does, you really have to display the box because there is art.
It's also, you can stack them, it's the bigger thing.
Is it easier to stack?
Like, you can stack them 10 high and it doesn't matter, and you there's no way you could do that if they, I mean there are ways, but it's just easier to display it with the box. And yeah, like Elvin said, the box is nice.
Mm-hmm. It is.
some of them actually even have printings on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for some, there are actually some that don't have a difference except for the sticker that's on the box. And the sticker makes it rare. And you want to display the sticker.
Ah, that means you really got something that's worth collecting, I guess.
Sometimes it's a $5, $10 difference.
Really?
Yeah. There's a Jollibee that's worth, like a regular Jollibee is maybe 1,000-2,000. I don't know anymore. But it's like 8,000 now.
What? Regular Jollibee?
The Jollibee with a sticker, I think.
Oh, all right.
But the without, it's like less. I don't know.
What sticker is that?
It's something like Toy-Con.
Oh, okay.
Where they released it. And then they release it again in Jollibee's
stores.
And it doesn't have the sticker.
Jollibee stores.
It's the exact same thing, except the Toy-Con has the sticker. So you're paying an extra thousands for the sticker.
And why is that?
It's rare.
Yeah, rarity. The market dictates what the market wants.
Okay.
Kind of like what had happened with Beanie Babies before. If it had a specific sticker... the tag? Beanie Babies, had a tag.
The one that's designed by the girl.
Or yeah, the similar ones. And those are the ones that sell for like hundreds of dollars.
So for Beanie Babies, they don't come in a box, right?
They
it's
don't.
It's a plush, right?
Mm-hmm. But if it's dirty, then the value is down.
Yeah, and if the tag is away or it's damaged, then
yeah, the tag is, you need to keep the tag mint. The problem. Mm-hmm.
So that's what keeps
If you were going to say that's what keeps the Beanie Babies value, no, because nothing keeps their value anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Do we still have Beanie Babies?
We do. We do, actually. I saw them yesterday.
Selling in Toy Kingdom?
In, yeah. But yeah, there's totally no value in Beanie Babies now.
Okay. I mean, when I was in elementary, we used to collect Lisa Frank stickers.
I actually know that and name, but I don't remember what that is.
We did buy and
it's
sell.
It's the one that is like rainbows and mm-hmm. unicorns.
It's all the craze.
It had ads in Archie Comics.
We did buy and sell for, well,
Did you watch the movie about Beanie Babies?
No, not
so
yet.
So Beanie Babies was actually, at least according to the Netflix movie, was actually like a super stock market thing where people were paying thousands and thousands for Beanie Babies at one point, and then the market crashed.
Why were
because
they?
Because they were limited edition.
Mm-hmm. Why was it so popular?
Because kids? They were limited edition.
And who people, manufactured?
No, because they made it a Ponzi scheme. Not Ponzi, but kinda.
They hyped
it. Where like you need to buy them and then sell them. They kinda made it stocks. Until eventually people realized that there's no value in these.
It's
things.
Something like NFTs.
Yes.
Like they convinced people that, hey, you gotta collect this because it's gonna, the price is gonna go up. So yeah.
Beanie Babies is NFTs before NFTs were a thing.
Well, if you want to talk about the original ones were tulips back in the day,
tulips?
Right?
The flowers? Tulips,
yeah, the flowers. And in the Netherlands, there was a craze
but
for fluids.
But they die.
They do die. But the thing is, they were genetic. So tulips normally have a solid color.
Mm-hmm.
A genetic mutation causes tulips to have
like an ombre.
A different...
a gradient.
Yes, a gradient, literally. So it would have, instead of just a single solid color, it would have like streaks of white or purple or what have you. But it's all genetic and you don't know what you're going to get. So they started investing in tulip futures. So the tulip that you have came from a family that usually had this type of mutation, but you're not sure if the mutation is beautiful or if it's ugly. So you're...
But these ones you can actually sell and people... like it.
There is a speculation. There is, yeah.
But you don't collect. You don't collect.
Yeah, it's not a stock thing. But yeah, sure.
All right. Well, my takeaway from this conversation is that
you need to get to Netflix and watch the what is it called?
Beanie Baby movie.
Bubble. It's about the bubble.
Beanie Babies are the original NFT.
Anyway, it also tells you why the tag.
Oh, the beanie bubble.
It tells you why the tag. No, it doesn't tell you. It's because it's Ty, not. I always thought it was thank you. That's why it says TY. But Ty is the name of the designer.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thanks for that, Sushiman. That's our show. Thanks for listening to the Random Pinoy Geek Podcast. This has been Elvin and JR and Sushi. And remember, it's okay to geek out
as long as you know when to stop.